Good morning, everyone. I did something a little different this time. When I took my notes, I put individual verses on individual pieces of paper so that I could organize later, and ended up quite a bit of paper here. So don't worry, it's not going to be that long a message. I'll shut her down when we get close to the end there. But it was amazing to me how many pieces of paper I had scattered out. I was just kind of organizing it, and Mary came down to the den there where I was doing it, and she just looked in there and just saw all these papers along the floor that I was trying to organize, and that was quite a pile. Anyway, so what I was thinking about, over the last, obviously the last year or so, I think everyone can see that this world is in trouble. I think everyone that you talk to, if you just have a casual conversation with anybody nowadays, it always seems to end up a discussion about the chaos in this world. It's just gone crazy. And you see it in the news all the time. And I realize, there's always been bad news. There's always been, stories that, are discouraging to us and all that sort of thing. But at least for me, this is the first time I've ever heard people, saying, it's time for a civil war and that sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, this whole thing has really gotten out of hand. I mean, it's our country has become very polarized between the conservatives and the liberals. And, we can see that, Satan's at work in this country and in this world. And you think of the things that you see on the news. And it's not just the news. I mean, it's just normal programming now. It's just normal television shows. Well, I said normal television. They're not normal. They're just television shows. There's all kinds of immorality. There's the gender bending stuff. The homosexuality. The political corruption. The blasphemy. Nowadays people can use God's name in vain. On the network on primetime television shows and stuff. It's amazing to me that they can do that. And, they talk about, murder, or, abortion. There's all kinds of lawlessness, thievery, gang violence. A lot of times we watch these TV shows that show, police pursuing a vehicle, and obviously this person's trying to get away, and they're, driving like crazy to try to get away and putting everybody's life at risk and everything, and the police are trying to get them stopped, and you just wish that you could have some sort of a rocket mounted to the front of a police car that could just hit the enemy and blow it up. But I guess we aren't quite to that point politically. That's probably not the thing to do. But Todd, you probably would like to have that on your car once or twice. But I just think about this world, and I try not to get discouraged, because that's what Satan would love for us to do. He'd love for us to get discouraged and give up, right? I'm not going to do that. We're not going to give up. But why does this world not follow God's law? We know that it would go better for it if it did, right? If people would just follow God's law, if they would just open up their Bibles and follow God's word, everything would be good. But we know that's not going to happen. And so where there's a mess, there's a message. And that's what it was a song I was listening to this week. And I thought, I agree with that. Where there's a mess, there's a message. There's something for us to learn from this chaos and from all this craziness that we see. One of my first thoughts is, I'd like to take things into my own hands and do some vigilante justice. I know that's not the right thing to do. And so, I have to remind myself. So I go to Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 19. It says, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head." Yeah, I like that. Okay. Now, that's my goal. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And so I think we can see that we can't take the law into our own hands. That's not what God wants us to do. He'll take care of it. So whose world is this? James chapter 4, starting with verse 1, says, "What is the source of the quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust, and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God?" And I think that's, you know, that is, it's a strong criticism, isn't it? You know, calling people adulteresses, but really, you know, it's very, very true. And we talked about it a little bit this morning in worship service that, you know, when we turn away from God, we turn away from our first love. We turn away from Christ. We see that in Revelation where, you know, there's, it talked about a lukewarm church and how they've turned away from their first love. And it is just like adultery. It's turning away. Verse 4 says, "Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." You know, do you feel comfortable in this world? You know, is this world your home? Is this, you know, do you like this world? Does it go well with the things you believe and the things that you like to hear and that sort of thing? I hope not. I hope this world does not make you comfortable, you know. If it makes you comfortable, there's something wrong. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. We've got to get things right. We've got to get down on our knees before God every day, you know, and say, God, on my own, I am absolutely still a sinner. I still sin. I still fail. I need your help today. And every day we need God's help, don't we? Don't compromise your devotion to God's righteousness to fit in with the world. We will not fit in. As Christians, we will not fit in. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." And this is what we always have to remind ourselves, and this is what I always have to remind myself, is that Satan is very real. He very definitely is trying to get each one of us. He very definitely is trying to pull us down, trying to pull us away from God. And if we are alert to that, if we understand that and think about it, I think we are more apt to be able to defend ourselves, to be able to trust in God and to lean on him and to not give in to Satan's temptations and stuff. Because he's pretty sly. You know, Satan's pretty sly. He'll trip us up if he can. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places," or in the spirit world. "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one," or of Satan. So it gives us all this armor that we're supposed to put on to be prepared each day to do battle against Satan. And I love the fact that we have the shield of faith. We know who to believe in. We know who to trust in. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Aren't you glad that you have the Bible that you can read each day, that we can study and that we can learn from? You know, there's just so much in God's word that can help us if we just turn to it, you know? And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, you can turn just about anywhere and get a message, get a something out of it, you know, get a nugget of gold, right? I mean, God's word is just stuffed full of good stuff. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert. And I guess that's the one thing I have to always be reminded of. Be on the alert. Always be thinking. Always be thinking. You know, Satan's going to try something. What's he going to try next? With all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I think that's really should be the goal of all of us, shouldn't it? You know, every one of us is an ambassador for Christ. Every one of us have contact with people every day that need Jesus as their Savior. And what an opportunity for each one of us to be a testimony, to tell them about who Jesus is to us. 1 John chapter 5 says, starting with verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. You know, the evil one is obviously not true. The evil one is obviously going to throw any lies he can at you to throw you off, to confuse you and to cause problems for you. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, or we are committed to him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We always have to remember that Satan, the evil one, is in power in this world, and never underestimate his power. Luke chapter 17, starting with verse 22, and he said to his disciples, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And we talked a little bit about that this morning. You know, we love, and I'm sure it was great back then when Jesus was walking the earth and could have this discussion with his disciples, and disciples were actually able to talk to him face to face. You know, that must have been really cool. They will say to you, look here, look there. Do not go away, and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky and shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. And we know that, you know, Jesus is coming back someday. We have that assurance. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone and from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on that day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. One of my favorite verses. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. You know, we realize that Lot's wife loved this world and the things in it. She regretted leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that. And what happened? She became a pillar of salt. She wanted to have one foot in the world and one foot in safety, and you can't do that. When God judges the world, it will be a sudden and total destruction. You know, and I think of the days of Noah and days of Lot, and it doesn't emphasize it right here, but I just went back and just looked at, you know, if you were to look at the days of Noah, what can it be characterized as? What were the people like back then? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says they had evil hearts. Genesis 6, verse 12 says they were full of corruption. Genesis 6, verse 11 and verse 13 says that they were full of violence. All right? So evil hearts, corruption, and violence. Okay? What were the days of Lot like? Homosexuality, big time, right? I mean, that was, it's so disgusting you can't even read it, you know? I mean, that's how bad it was. And I think, you know, when you look at the news that we see nowadays, we're heading that direction again. And we know what happened to the people in Noah's time and the people in Lot's time, don't we? They were judged. And I think that judgment's coming. And I don't know when, but look at the things that they were guilty of then, and look at our society now, and I think you'll see a pretty good correlation there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," in other words, Satan, "of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." Whose world is this? That's Satan's world. John chapter 16. "Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." I take great comfort in that. Don't you? Don't you agree that this world is full of chaos? In this world you have tribulation, and we're starting to see it, and I think we're going to see it more and more all the time. We'll see this tribulation. But in the Lord Jesus we have peace, because he has overcome the world. John chapter 15, starting with verse 19, it says, "If you were of the world would love its own," or in other words, it would love you. "If you were of the world would love you. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." Now, a personal question is, does the world love you guys? Does the world love me? Am I best buddies with the world? Do I hang out with the world? Do we do stuff together that's not right? Man, I hope not. You know, but yet that's what it's talking about here. You know, we have to separate ourselves from certain aspects of the world. Now, obviously, we can't separate ourselves out of this world, but we don't have to be a part of the sin of this world. You know, we have to be a testimony to this world and tell people about the Lord Jesus, but we don't have to participate in the evil that people do. He says he chose us out of this world, but the world's going to hate us. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Do not be conformed to this world. We see this over and over again in Scripture. Don't just try to fit in with the world. It doesn't work. As a Christian, we will not fit in. But we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we focus on God's word and what God has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus, we should have a renewing of our mind, a new hope, you know, an assurance that we have a salvation to look forward to, a home in heaven, an eternity with him. And to be like him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now even tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our body, the body of our humble state, into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." Our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is not here on this earth. Do we set our minds on earthly things? I hope not. You know, we know that these things in this earth aren't going to be able to be taken with us. You know, we all have gone to funerals and stuff, and we all see people who are in the casket, and it saddens us to realize that, you know, their life is over, and we realize that a lot of people have really struggled through life, have really strived to earn a lot of money, to have a lot of possessions, and we realize that they can't take any of those things with them. And so we wonder, was that their priority? Was that the most important thing in their life, was to have all these things, and now they can't even take them with them? You know, I hope as Christians that is not our priority. I hope that it is not our goal to stockpile things. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we can't take the stuff of this earth to heaven with us except our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with him and the things that we've done here on this earth that are of eternal value. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 says, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." This world is not our home. Romans chapter 1, verse 8 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests. If perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." And, you know, that is very important for each one of us here in this chapel, isn't it? To encourage each other, to look after each other, to pray for each other. That's what we should be doing. We need it. You know, if we think that we can be an island, you know, somebody from a poem or something like that says, you know, no man is an island or something like that, you know, and that's very fitting for us. You know, we are not an island. We don't just exist all by ourselves and don't have interactions with anybody else. We have an interaction with a lot of people, and we have what an opportunity to be an encouragement to fellow believers. Actually, to be an encouragement to this world. You know, if we tell them about Christ, they have an opportunity to have a change in their life, a change in their life for the better. "I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often plan to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish, so that for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." You know, I know that each person has gifts, specific gifts, but I think each one of us also have the gift or the ability to tell people about the Lord. We might not be, as gifted as somebody like Billy Graham or, you know, some great preacher, but certainly we have the ability to tell one person, don't we? You know? I mean, that doesn't take a whole lot, you know? It's our responsibility, and it's our privilege, really, isn't it? You know, to tell other people about Christ. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" You know, if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I hope this morning that you will stop and think about your own sin and realize that, you know, every one of us are sinners. Every one of us have failed. Every one of us are imperfect. Every one of us need a Savior. There's no way that you're ever going to get to heaven without the Lord Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Today's the day. Now's the time to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You have an opportunity. Don't let it go by. Think of in Hebrews in chapter 11, it's interesting how this whole chapter talks about, by faith, these men of old, these people of old, showed their devotion to God. Each one of those people showed their faith in God by the things that they did and how they reacted to God's commandments and that sort of thing. Verse 13 says, all these died in faith. You know, all those people that, you know, in the Old Testament there, you know, they all died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, they had faith. They knew that God was going to fulfill his promise to them. And having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Here again, this is what we are. If this world doesn't feel good to us, that's why. It's because we are strangers and exiles on this earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. Don't you want your own country? I want a country where I don't have to put up with all the stuff that's on the news. You know? I get so sick and tired of hearing all of the garbage on the news. It's just, it's disheartening. And so I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to watch the news. You know, matter of fact, I limit just how much news I can take in. I just, you know, you listen to a couple of the key stories and that's it. That's all I can handle, you know. We're seeking a country of our own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. I think that's what each one of us desire too, isn't it? Don't we desire a heavenly country? Don't we desire God's country? I think there's a song like that. But anyway, don't we desire to be in heaven? Don't we desire to be in a place where God dwells, where God rules, and we don't have to put up with all of Satan's shenanigans, all his the things that he tries to pull on us, all the sin? I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I think we all realize that this world is darkness. You know, everything that you see going on in this world, you can see, you know what? This is darkness. This is the sort of stuff that nasty people do in the nighttime where they can get away with it, where they don't think anybody sees them. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Aren't you glad that God is merciful? That he doesn't give us what we deserve? You know, we're all sinners, right? Every one of us has fallen short of perfection. And perfection is the only way you're going to get to heaven. God, you know, God has a very, very high standard. You cannot get to heaven. You cannot be in heaven unless you're perfect. So, that rules us all out. Unless you get your perfection from the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you put your faith in him. And he has taken your sin away. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. John chapter 14, starting with verse 1, says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, or how do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And that's just something we have to just stop and dwell on and think about. I'm not going to let my heart get troubled over this world. It isn't worth it. You know, the things of this world are not worth it. The things of this world are all going to burn up in the end, right? I'm not going to let my heart get stressed out, because Jesus says, you know what? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We can put our faith and trust in him, realize that there's no reason for us to be troubled. Yeah, this world's falling apart, and I think we all agree with that. But we have an eternal dwelling place because of what the Lord Jesus did for us. Do not lose heart. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. But though your outer man, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Aren't you glad that our inner man is being renewed? You know, I can tell, you know, as I'm getting older, falling apart, right? Every one of us are falling apart, you know? It's hard to admit, but, you know, we all are having aches and pains that we didn't used to have, right? And we will continue. You know, it's kind of a downhill travel, right? So better enjoy today. But, you know, it's nice to know that inward, in our mind and in our spirit, we are being renewed day by day. That's a cool thing to realize that, you know, every day is a new day with God. Every day is another adventure, another opportunity for us in our relationship with God. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. You know, the things of this world are temporal. They're short term. But the things which are not seen, the spiritual things, are eternal. That's why it's so important for each one of us not to get so focused on the things of this world, on the possessions and all that sort of thing, but on our spiritual walk with God each day. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. It says, behave properly as in the day. You know, when you think of Satan, you know, a lot of his activity is at nighttime, isn't it? Because even he is ashamed at some of the stuff that he does, I think. You know, I know the people who do it are ashamed of it, right? I mean, each person knows deep down in their heart what they did is wrong, you know? When you sin against somebody, you know it, right? Knowing this, knowing the time, is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I love that. You know, we are closer to seeing the Lord Jesus than anybody ever in history has been. That's something to think about. It's a neat thing to realize that, you know, we're almost there. We're a lot closer than anybody else has been. Hold on. Just, you know, I think of things that we go through, some of the activities in this life, and how we get discouraged and we kind of get worn out and just kind of give up. You know, think of somebody in a race, in a foot race. You know, they start out and they, you know, start running and they start getting a little bit tired and, you know, they think, oh man, that goal's a long ways away. I'm going to have to slow down, you know. And they, you just see it. The life just kind of slows down. But, you know, for us, we got to keep thinking, the goal's not that far ahead. We're going to get there. You know, hold on. We'll get there. Jesus is coming back. Acts chapter 2. I ran across this the other day when I was just thinking about how weird this world is getting. And, you know, think of when the people were, this apostles were being filled with the Holy Spirit and how they started speaking in tongues and started, you know, speaking other languages. And everybody was amazed. And it said, you know, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 4. But then Peter, and it started in verse 14, has to explain the situation because they were accusing these people who were speaking in other languages of being drunk. These apostles, they weren't drunk. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, taking a stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. But these verses came to my mind. These verses meant something to me, because what had just happened? Those apostles, those disciples had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And what does he say in verse 17? And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind. So I think what we can infer from this, at least this is what I infer from it anyway, that even at that time, Peter was saying, we're in the last days. And if we do a little calculating, and I kind of don't know exactly the dates and the timetable here, but at least I'm going to throw it out here. I just got bored, and I decided to get on the internet. And how many years has it been since Adam to the birth of Jesus? And I didn't know. I guessed, I'd heard maybe when I went to Laterno, I think someone at that point said, well, it's roughly 4,000 years. Well, so I went to this website, and it said, this is Houston Christian University is who put this out. And they calculated, and I'm not saying that their calculation is right or anything, but they calculated that 3,974 years, 6 months, and 10 days to the birth of Jesus, okay? So then if we think of how many years has it been since Jesus, it's obviously 2024, so 2,024 years, 2 months, January and February, and what, 3 days. Okay, so if you add all those together, then we come up with 5,998 years, which I think is interesting. We're almost to 6,000 years. Now, I have no idea if this has anything to do with anything, but I think it's interesting. Just for food for thought, now don't go tell anybody that I told you that Jesus come back on a certain day, because I don't know. Nobody knows, right? But I think it's interesting. It was encouraging to me, anyway, to think, you know what? 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years, as God's word says, right? All right, so how many days did it take God to create the earth? 6 days, right? And so we're almost to 6,000 years. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Anyway, to encourage you, okay? Don't give up. Think about, what would happen if Jesus comes back next year? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be cool? I hope that encourages. I hope it makes you think. What do I need to change my life right now to get me ready? Because I think he's coming back, I don't know when, but I think he's coming back. I'm sure he's coming back. I hope we're ready. Time is up. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, we just thank you so much for this privilege and this honor that we have of just reading your word and looking at your promises and realizing what you've done for us, realizing this world needs a Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us an opportunity. You give us mouths to voices to talk to people with. Help us to do that. Help us to be an encouragement to each other. Help us to be an encouragement to this world. We know that this world is in stress, that this world is needing a Savior. Help us to be the light in this world. Help us to show your light to this world. I thank you for what you've done for us. I thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you went to the cross and you paid our sin debt in full. I'm just so thankful this morning that we can just gather together and we can just enjoy your word and enjoy this time together. I give you thanks now for these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen.